Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and in this episode of the podcast, I'm flying solo. And in case you're wondering, will we have guests on the show again on the regular program? And the answer is yes. I just had to wait a few weeks because the way I've been block recording these episodes of the Spotlights for the Wednesdays, I didn't leave myself enough time to edit it and to have regular episodes with guest hosts. So that didn't really leave me with a lot of time for co-hosts at all, for any show for that matter. So that's why there's been a lack of all things Transformers, Future Imperfect, even though like Future Imperfect should have had like four by now at this point, and all things Transformers should have had one at least. But those will make a triumphant return, next week, nicely enough. If you're listening to this episode, you've already listened to the interview, spotlight episode with Peter Westwood of, Poppin' Off and, some Mixer series and, super nice guy, super down to earth, talking about just, you know, how to go through that journey and of being a just a, you know, decent human being. And he did a TEDx talk, and I got the fun of getting to guest host on their YouTube show Poppin' Off this week, which actually aired yesterday, according to this recording. I'm actually recording it right after, so I'm super jazzed up from it. We talked about a variety of topics on that episode, so if you want to see that, I will link their episode below on Altered Geek's episode post on Geekcast Radio. I am stumbling like a crazy person. The adrenaline's still going. So anyways, I was a special guest. I did drop some different voices and kind of introed myself as Megatron. And then had fun messing with them. We talked about the coming Netflix shows for February, the Hulu showing ads, the Nick Jonas throwing in his hat for Ben Affleck's role of Batman, and there were a variety of other topics we didn't get to on that particular segment. And they had very structurally sound segments, but it allowed them to kind of not dwell on things too long, and that was kind of nice too. And then we went over to the gamer section and got to talk about our console of choice and the PS5 compatibility, and Resident Evil getting some new games or rehashes, as it were. And then we went over to the trending section, which talked about how you can get married at Denny's on Valentine's Day for $100, which is kind of redonkulous. For one, why would you get married at Denny's? Why would you pay $100 for Denny's? And then again, Denny's, like, yeah. And then they talked about Costco selling a 5-tier wedding cake made entirely out of cheese, not a cheesecake, actual cheese. And then it basically insinuates how, you know, Costco is going to keep adding things, and, you know, pretty soon they'll have a library, they'll have a College of Costco where you can get your degree within Costco, and you can get in their monorail system in the middle of the store and go from one end to the other. But yeah, I also heard rumors that they're going to build a Costco close to me, which will be interesting. We have Sam's Club, so yeah. And I'm thankful we didn't get to the last topic on that, on the trending, because I did not, I was scared of that. So they did bring me in for the rapid fire game, which were quick answers, and that was a lot of fun too. So definitely check out their show if you want to hear everything that went on in that episode. A lot of fun went on, and a lot of joking, and some of my crazy voices. So that is what happened. So without further ado, we're going to get over to some geeky news, some of which is, as we already know, The Big Bang Theory is ending, but William Shatner is going to have a guest role for an upcoming Dungeons & Dragons-themed episode, which will mark the first time that Shatner's appeared on the show, And it's kind of fitting because, you know, the one guy that's like got that look that, you know, you see him and you just think Star Trek or Priceline, however you want to go about it. He's going to make his debut on the show. And so it'll be not much different than how Carrie Fisher was on there, or Mark Hamill, or Leonard Nimoy, or really any of the people, you know, LeVar Burton, Brent Spiner. So it's really cool that he's going to be on there. It is kind of sad that it's happened this late, but you know, it is what it is. I'm just kind of glad that it's going to have Shatner on it and it's going to be fun. So yeah, they're saying that, they're going to have Joe Manganiello, director Kevin Smith, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Will Wheaton, also guesting roles in that episode. But it doesn't say, if Shatner will play, a character of himself, or he'll be playing a version of himself, or part of the game, or, but yeah, it's going to be interesting to say the least when that comes out. So now we get to the CW. And the CW renews, of course, every DC TV show, among other things. They've renewed basically their entire slate through 2020, in addition to Riverdale and Supernatural, which Supernatural's no surprise, are hitting episode 300 in the next three episodes. And they're going to have John Winchester, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, come back and play the father, and so that'll be interesting. I'm not surprised that The Flash, Arrow, or any of the Arrowverse shows and Black Lightning got a renewal, just because they're awesome. Batwoman will be making her appearance at some point on the pilot, or on the series, on the network, as well as Crisis on Infinite Earths, which could end up altering everything in permanent ways, and kind of soft rebooting the universe, or integrating everybody down to the same level. But yeah, I'm not surprised in the slightest. CW's got a bunch of cash cows there. They're not going to let those go. not in the slightest. And then we get to the news that Disney is promising more. Marvel will keep making R-rated Deadpool movies, which means that you'll probably see like a Black Widow movie rated R. You'll probably see a lot of other ones. Bob Iger's basically said that they're going to keep doing it, and going with their adult-oriented Marvel adventures after it absorbs much of Fox. So yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, that's a big cash cow there. That would just be stupid not to do it. One of the things, though, that I noticed in the news that had me really excited, and it has nothing to do with the Batman, is that Warner Brothers is developing an animated Batman Beyond movie for theatrical release, possibly to tease interest, or just because they want to do something in that universe. But anyways, it doesn't say if it's going to be in, like, taking place in that, like, during the series. It'll be based on the animated series. It doesn't say that it will be within the series. So, we'll have to wait and see. But it's going to be released through the Warner Animation Group. And it's supposed to begin production in 2020 with a theatrical release around, like, 2022. Kind of their version of response to the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is kind of why they're doing this. And some leaked art kind of showed up, and it's not really anything special. It's just kind of scribbled, like, made to kind of similarly look to, like, the Spider-Verse animation. And I hope it's not that type of animation. I hope that's just playing on it, but, yeah, it's... I honestly wish that they would just kind of skip... I mean, I'm fine if they do the Matt Reeves Batman and they do his trilogy and kind of playing the young Batman, but I would love to see since DC's kind of abandoned the DCEU and kind of recreated it as standalone films, I would love to see them do a Batman Beyond trilogy and have Michael Keaton reprise his 89 and 92 Batman role to play old man Bruce Wayne in the Batcave and have a young actor play Batman Beyond. And then it could be literally anybody. But there's so much that they could do with it. And I think that that's kind of been the thing. And honestly, the rumor of a Batman Beyond live movie has been going on for quite some time. I mean, there were rumors of it in the mid-2000s around the time that Batman Begins came out. And I still am holding out hope that eventually that will come out. But, you know, we'll see what happens when they do decide to do something with it. I hope the animation thing goes well so that they will do it, but honestly, I would like to see them do it sooner than later so Keaton can still kind of play somewhat of an integral role because he still considers himself, much like Bruce Wayne in Batman Beyond, he considers himself to be Batman whenever he shows up somewhere. And so it's kind of a nice nod that he does when he gets into that that rhythm of playing that anyway. So the other thing that's kind of interesting is Disney, and this was posted by Geek Vibes Nation, they kind of basically recap this whole thing going on, saying that Disney is betting the future on Disney Plus. They plan to fully utilize Fox's IPs and other purchased IPs to create and transfer content to Hulu and Disney Plus. And ticket prices for the Disney parks will go up. Rated R content will be made. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting year with Disney involved for sure. Changing gears a little bit, I don't know if you guys have seen the Star Wars shorts that are making kind of the rounds around the internet, getting very high praise. The Galaxy of Adventure series that they've been pumping out, super short, like 2 to 3 minute episodes. They recently released one which got everybody's attention, of Yoda versus Count Dooku, kind of showing, you know, the Attack of the Clones battle and, you know, and then the Vader and Luke's duel on Bespin from Empire Strikes Back, and they focus on the action of the movies. They even have one of Palpatine showing his rise to power, like, throughout this clip. And gotta be truthful on this, they look pretty awesome. And the reinterpretation kind of gives new meaning, that they don't necessarily have to replace the movies, but they could kind of tell an alternate version of the classic films with these, and kind of play in that universe, because they've turned all of the original films into these animated shorts and kind of been fun with it and playful with the canon. And it really is really interesting how these have come out. And with episode 9 coming out this year, it's only a matter of time before they do more of this with the other parts of the franchise. But they don't even have to have the original actors, because a lot of it's been replaced, unless you're talking like James Earl Jones or something, where they can just lift the voice track or something. But it's still amazing, like, how well it's come out. And there was also recently, like, a trailer for Justice League versus the Fatal Five, which Bruce Timm is back in the saddle producing this. And or executive producing, and Sam Liu, the Gotham by Gaslight, is directing it. He's done a couple of the other ones, I believe, too. But it's supposed to come out later this year, and it's kind of spotlighting two unlikely young heroes. They're kind of fighting off futuristic villains. But they brought back Kevin Conroy as Batman, Susan Eisenberg as Wonder Woman, and George Newbern as Superman to reprise their roles as the DC's Trinity in the Justice League. And then they also have Mr. Terrific and New Green Lanterns, and then they've got Miss Martian. So But the fun part is that the characters from the DC Justice League Unlimited series look identical to their original roles. And that's why it's so spectacular and kind of cool. So yeah, I'm definitely pumped for this. I cannot wait for this to come out in the near future. So, and then finally wrapping out the geeky news, there was a Google commercial for Google Home where Joe Pesci was waiting. Basically, it was a Super Bowl commercial. And he's waiting to see what his favorite commercial was, and there's Home Alone, and it's got, you know, like the Kevin McAllister thing and the Macaulay Culkin. So it was basically a commercial within a commercial, but it was still great because it was just funny how it played out. But nonetheless, it was still a lot of fun. There were a lot of trailers that kind of dropped. There was an Avengers Endgame trailer, which was kind of... I mean, it showed all the heroes who'd been vaporized by the snap, and then the rest of them kind of getting in line to begin the battle. And then a Captain Marvel one, which did the, you know, fly higher and all that jazz. And I'm still excited for both those films. I think that they're going to be a knockout. It remains to be seen how post Endgame goes, but up until that, I'm pretty stoked for everything that's coming out. That being said, gonna move to a topic. So we'll be back after this quick flip of the audio switch.
And now our feature presentation.
So we're back, and there was an email from Scanner51, and it was the subject of screen time, which was recently brought up on the show. And then he says that he's seen battles over the screen time take place, and, you know, thankfully not his kid. It's getting harder to limit such things, et cetera, et cetera. And there's schools wired and everything else, and teachers using Kindles and everything else. And I kind of briefly touched on this, but what the interesting thing is people have gotten so addicted to these devices, myself included. It is ridiculous how tied to these devices we are. And I actually wrote an article about this, and it more or less it kind of encompassed the state of things, like, and what you should do as a parent when you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place with these items. And I, being that I just was laid off, I'm writing freelance and doing other things like that now. But I wrote one on kids and tech safety. And basically, you know, technology has changed the way we parent our kids. You know, I mean, think about it. When we were young, there was nothing like YouTube, nothing like Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. You know, in the late 90s, we had dial-up modems with, you know, the awesomely blazing speeds of 56K, if we were lucky. But with the digital landscape as it is today, there's limitless content within reach of any small hands. And it's getting to be more important than ever for parents to be educated and proactive with what they allow in front of their kids. So everything we have available to us today, it can be kind of daunting and scary to become a parent, have to figure it out and find that fine line and where it has to be drawn. I mean, you guys know I have two boys, you know, a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, and both my kids have already figured out how to navigate our smartphones. My oldest in particularly tries often to steal our phones to play with the device, to use the camera. He knows how to get to YouTube. He knows how to get to the call screen. My wife is nicer than I am. She passwords hers with the touch authorization. So... you know, since their past screened and everything else, you know, we can't hide technology from them, nor would I try to, but what we can do is guide them to what is appropriate for their developing minds. And honestly, I see like our quote unquote millennial generation and the next generation after that, whatever that's called, Z or whatever. We're so disgustingly tied to these devices. And one of the interviews that, funny enough, we'll get to later on, when I asked the guest speaker, about getting in contact with his social media, and actually it comes out next week on the 13th, he says, "I don't have any." And I was like, "You what?" And he's like, "Yeah, I know, I get that a lot." But he said that he's had a lot of people tell him that they've gotten rid of their social media. Like, he's gotten rid of it. He's got a lot of people that subscribe to him that have gotten rid of it. They've gone back to the traditional forums. They've gone back to, you know, the emails. They've gone back to, you know, a variety of other ways. And so it's very difficult in this day and age. And so, you know, to kind of traverse that, I mean, you have to guide them. So if you've got multiple devices in your home, you know, whether it's a Kindle Fire or a Google Home, smartphone, smart TV, smart Blu-ray, iPad, any of those devices, the main concern is safety guidelines, and you need communication. And that seems to be the one thing that nobody wants to do. Like, everybody's like, "Eh, just throw a device at them, let it parent them, and I'm good because they're not bothering me." It's not supposed to work that way. And there's a lot of learning potential, but I'll get to that in a minute. So basically what we have to do is allow them to use it to expand their exposure to it. But we also have to explain the acceptable behavior and the expectations with those devices. And we have to encourage them to make the right choice. But at the same time, we always have to keep a close eye because, you know, they're kids. You know, think about all the things that you did that was screwed up with, you know, the tech devices in the day. I mean, I remember dialing on the internet at like 11 o'clock at night or like 5 in the morning. And I figured out how to turn off the dial-up modem sound, which was good. Until I got caught because the screen, like, I had my light off in my room because it obviously was late, or super early, and the screen light would give off that bright hue. And so I learned how to turn the brightness down, but it still didn't save me from under the door. And eventually I got caught cause I was playing video games. And working on my Dragon Ball Z website at the time. And Transformers site, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah, I know, huge nerd. Could have been looking at other things that probably weren't as, were worse off than that, but that's what I was doing. So anyways, you know, these are kind of my basic rules with it, not getting too much into it. And it's more so just limit usage, you know, treat it like anything else, moderation, set a time limit. I had a time limit as a kid. The unfortunate part is I use it as a coping mechanism because when my parents got divorced, I had nothing. I had nobody to relate to. I wanted to disappear. And how I did that was I played on my computer. I learned how to design graphics. I built websites. I taught myself anything I could to become someone else. And I learned a lot about pop culture. I learned about, like I said, web design, graphics. I learned about, I created my own persona online, so I literally would be a totally different person in person and online. And it wasn't until really the formation of Geekcast Radio that I was able to put those two halves back together and just become normal, like fully functional. And it took a long time, and my wife has been instrumental in that reintegration because I was a stingy, just not, yeah, I had to get off my high horse. And so it takes a lot, but anyways, that's deeper than what I intended to go. But, regardless, limits are needed, and knowing what your kids are doing, you know. And if you set certain times and, you know, they abuse it, that's one thing that you can kind of gauge it on that. But if they're following the guidelines, I mean, it's still moderation. But toddlers and kids, you know, children ages 2 to 5 should, or even birth to like 5 or 6, should be limited to high quality content, such as low intensity educational programming, not all the kind of crazy crap that's going on. And that's kind of why we have a lot of rambunctious kids, or kids that can't sit through any kind of program. Why, you know, it screws with your brain. It really does. And I've even noticed it since I've gotten off a lot of the high intensity. We stopped letting our kids watch it, and they've kind of mellowed out for the most part. But screen time, this is number 2, screen time isn't alone time. And you need to have your children in a central, highly trafficked area, because kids are less likely to get into something questionable if mom or dad could be walking by any moment. You know, it can also be a time for parents to sit down and explore the digital activity with the child, giving them the opportunity to ask questions, or you know, let the kid teach them, because kids love to do that. My oldest loves to come up and show me something. I was drawing up graphics on paper for a side business thing that I was creating, and trying to draw logos up and trying to come up with just kind of rough schematics and just a rough basis. And my son comes up to me and he's like, "Can I draw some?" And so I started designing him, and I built him, or I was doing my own while he was drawing his own, and he was trying to copy some of what I was doing. So he was sitting really close, and it was really cute how he was trying to emulate what I was doing. And that kind of showed me too that, you know, they learn more from you than they do from these devices. And so it's kind of, you know, while co-viewing is still the best option for young kids, it's still better if you teach them yourself. Because there's a lot of life lessons they can learn from you as long as you're available. It's just learning to put down the stupid device, and that's something I have to learn too. But I did see there's a couple of good options. I know I talked about Pinna on the previous episode, the subscription service for kids, the screen-free, ad-free audio streaming of audiobooks, podcasts, and music. It's subscription-based, but it's still probably the best option if you don't want them watching things, but you want them listening to things to enrich their minds. But if you're going to let them watch something, the closest thing to like a Mr. Rogers that we have today is LeVar Burton Kids, which is another subscription service that both educates and informs. And if you're not familiar with LeVar Burton, what rock have you been under? But anybody from our generation should know who he is, because he was, you know, Mr. Reading Rainbow himself. You know, don't take my word for it. You know, that's his slogan. And then he does a lot of those things with like how Mr. Rogers would have the Mr. McFeely elements, where, you know, you'd see the crayon factory and things like that. So like I've watched a few of those, and they're interesting. Also, Geordi from Star Trek: The Next Generation. So just putting that out there. I mean, and then YouTube, you can do stuff from that, and it's free for the most part, for many different types of content. But you have to use a lot of caution on there, because unless you create a playlist of the content and the duration of content that you intend for your kids to sit in one sitting, you never know what will pop up during your viewing time in the advertisements or the follow-up videos. Despite the YouTube algorithm for YouTube Kids, you should still be present or close by while your children are making videos. No matter what you choose to do, just be aware, be present, and make yourself knowledgeable about the content and devices you let your kids use. I mean, just don't set them in front of something and expect them to police themselves, because they won't. But yeah, that's kind of my thought on all that. You know, with having the devices, I just, interaction, I mean, my kids were bouncing off the walls this morning. What did I do? I sat down and I played Legos. We built creations out of Legos. The boys were building their own boats and ships and stuff, and I built this immaculate jet, which is ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, I had fun doing that, and it's something that we all do. I mean, I have a lot of fun building with Legos, probably more so than my kids. But that's just because I'm a Lego nerd. But I know that Scanner wanted the opinion from guys who don't have kids, such as Birdman and Booth Ninja. But, you know, one, again, scheduling didn't line up, and two, I really wanted to talk about it, and I thought it was kind of fun. So the other topic that I have is, I posted this on Twitter, but some of our friends that are moving away, they've been called to serve in another state, and it's our local pastor, and he's going to another state, and we were good friends with them, close friends, and the boys were close friends with their kids, and so anyways, they were letting us borrow some, you know, their VCR and their burnable DVD player, which I had the opportunity of using the old tech again and remembering the good old days of copying, because they had some old VHS tapes that were starting to go bad that they wanted converted, and that they were going to give us, like, I mean, they gave us the VHS tapes and these particular ones, and said we could burn them to DVD because we don't have a VCR, and then we're throwing them away after. But that aside, I had to hook up the red, white, yellow cords again between the two devices and daisy chain them together through the ins and outs, and then the HDMI from the Blu-ray or the DVD player to the television, because my television, my 50-inch plasma Samsung, does not have a red, white, yellow. I think it has the RGB plugs, the higher definition versions of the red, white, yellow cords. But I don't entirely know. I think there's only one set of that, but there's two HDMI slots. It has a lot less connectors than my old TV. My 42-inch plasma that was Panasonic had, like, everything on it. I could have hooked up double red, white, yellow, and then the RGB, and then I think it had, like, four HDMI. No, it had two, because I had a splitter. I had a lot of stuff hooked up to that TV, though. But anyways, it was funny because the kids asked what that big machine and the tapes were. And I was like, oh, really? But I also have an old boombox. It's like, I got it, I was 10, so it's 22 years old. The CD part of it still works. The radio part of it still works. I've got a remote for it, so that's the only reason I keep it too. But the cassette part of it's dead. It, like, goes when it starts talking, and it just sounds funny, because we were trying to do the Hooked on Phonics things for the kids, and it was super warped. But getting to hear the familiar whine of the VHS tapes and the VCR rewinding, I don't miss it at all. I don't miss the impatient part of waiting. But it makes me think, it makes me remember why we have more patience as this generation and the previous generations than the younger generations typically do. I'm not saying they all are impatient, because there are people from my generation that's impatient too, but I am on certain things. But the fact that you had to wait for something to rewind, or you had to fast forward to a certain part. The only benefit was, is if you left it at a certain point in the movie, you could pick it up where you left off, unless you have, like, a smart Blu-ray player. Like, my Sony Blu-ray, if I stop playing a DVD at a certain point and I shut it off, it will pick back up where I left it off. Or if I've not watched that DVD in some time, somehow this stupid device will remember the last time I used that disc, and it will put me back right where I was the last time. So that's, like, the only instance I've ever seen of that happening. But it is funny, though, because, like I said, the younger generations typically don't have the same patience because of the instantaneous watching habits on their videos today. A lot of my friends are like, you know, like Eduardo's like, yep. So it made me kind of laugh on that. But yeah, it's crazy, 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 you know? But I guess that's a way of saying that I feel old, and I'm turning 33 this year in June, like after the 10-year anniversary of the network, I'm turning 32 or 33. And then I realized like this past week too, that I 100% need to wear my glasses to read from a book to my kids, because I stumbled so much not wearing them. I mean, I could read a desktop screen pretty decently fine, depending on the lighting, without, you know, without my glasses. But if it doesn't have the uniform lighting, forget it. Like, I need my glasses. Like, even sitting here recording this, I have to have my glasses because all the words are blurry on my screen. And all the prompts, and so I can't click without 100% accuracy on that. But yeah, I mean, I really feel old when my kids ask what a cassette, VHS, CD are. They call everything a DVD if it's a disc, like even if it's a CD or a Blu-ray, it's a DVD to them. Like, that's all they call it. Blu-ray is not even in their vernacular. Like, they don't have a clue what it is. but it's, I don't know. It's just, it's funny. Like, the kids know what Netflix is. They know what, Facebook is. They know what, they know what a lot of this stuff is, but when you get into the little nitty gritty stuff like that, they don't have a clue. They even have some old books that are for kids that have pictures of things that don't exist anymore. And they're like, what's that, Dad? And I'm like, son, that's one of these things. Like, I had that when I was little and, or younger. And they're like, whoa, that's weird. It just, I don't know. It just makes me feel old when I see stuff like that. So I guess I'm going to call it quits. This is probably the longest episode I've done in a long time on my own. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope that I'm not completely boring. So if you have any ideas of topics or content that you want me to cover on a future episode, just let me know. I'm pretty open to a lot of different things at this time. Like I said, All Things Transformers will be back next week. Future Imperfect will be back next week. And yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to get back to some old school conversations on this podcast. And yeah, we're going to get Birdman back. We're going to get Booth Ninja back. We're going to get TFG1 Mike back. Going to get some other people back, like maybe DJ, get TFG1 Mike. Yeah, so we'll just see how things go and kind of play it by ear, but definitely going to get back into the conversationally opinion-based episodes and less of the newsy news, unless it's like a quick segment blitz through, kind of like what happened in the beginning, although it went on way too long in some regards. But I also feel like I haven't been here in a while, and a lot of stuff kind of happened, so... Anyhow, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Thank you again for tuning in. And until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.